right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 812-333-2665. Hopefully you're enjoying the mostly empty town. Sure feels that way, and it's always nice to get a week reprieve here. It'll be nice if the weather picks up just a little bit. Unfortunately, we don't have any Hoosier basketball to watch, as the Hoosiers, of course, not picked in the NCAA tournament and not selected in the NIT. Their season is over. We'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. But NCAA basketball and more continues. We'll talk about the brackets here in just a little while. Only four Big Ten teams get in, but none seeded below a 5 seed. Michigan at number 3 after winning the Big Ten tournament. And coming on hot late in the season, and we'll tell you about all our NCAA tournament coverage, and we've got a ton of it coming up starting tomorrow night. So we'll tell you all about that here in the next hour as well, so don't go anywhere. Again, 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Glass, no surprise really at the end of the day that the Hoosiers don't end up with postseason ball to be played. A little disappointing, of course, at the end of it all. You kind of... by the way, this team had been playing down the stretch. I think some folks would have liked to see them play a little bit more. But it's turning it over now into the offseason and into next year, and letting 5 seniors go, letting Juwan Morgan maybe figure out what his future looks like. And if that's a Hoosier, we all certainly hope so. But looking towards the future and trying to determine how much of this year's play gets taken forward into the future when you become a very young team again next year. Presumably Juwan Morgan will be back, but after that, it's very, very young next year.
And at least for the Hoosiers, it wasn't some kind of shock development that they were not playing postseason basketball. That was kind of the decision. Well, not the decision. They knew the decision going into it. They knew that, or at least Archie Miller seemed to address that at his final press conference after the Rutgers game, saying that it would be he'd be surprised if that was on the horizon for this team. And, yeah, moving forward, you always want to play more games because you always see stuff in games. Games always give you – it's one more chance at film or whatever it else is. But I saw on Twitter today somebody retweeted somebody that said, you know, CBI action, it's 15-17, so-and-so versus 15-16, right. This and that. And
Fort Wayne got beat today. They were 18-15 on the year they played in the CIT.
There's a CBI, the yeah. CIT.
It was a home game at noon today.
Well, yeah, and that's, yeah.
On a Monday.
It's spring break here. It's a lot of things. But in a perfect world, you don't want to have to worry about this moving forward, but you just never know how it's going to move forward. But if Indiana basketball is going to move back into the echelon and conversations of winning at a larger level, at winning on a consistent level, this – probably has to be the last one that we talk about in the Archie Miller tenure, because it doesn't make sense to take the step backwards at all. The first year, the foundation has been set. The four-person recruiting class that is coming in is going to be solid. That recruiting class could expand. Graduate transfers could happen. You could have JUCO guys come in like you saw with Freddie McSwain.
Aiming at a number top 10 ranked recruit in the state of Indiana nationally.
There you go. Those things can happen as well. So there's still some exciting non-court basketball to deal with here in the springtime. And we hope that all those boxes get checked, because I think the one thing that Archie Miller would like to have next year would be more pieces on the chessboard to move around from a piece. I've heard some people mention that, you know what, he's a pretty good defensive coach. You could see that in the numbers of defense and field goal this and field goal efficiency that, and that's a good thing. Don't get me wrong, but I've heard some people grumble about offense. Well, if this was year 5 of Archie Miller's project and the offense was the offense he had this year, I think I'd have a different tune to sing. But I don't think that's the case. I think you do need offensive players to coach good offense. Getting open shots and them not falling, that was a little bit of the issue of the season. There were looks that didn't go in. There were layups that weren't converted. There were jumpers that were being had that didn't go down. And part of that is talent. You always have to have talent. I'll never forget when you and I did a show at the old place in our early days, and we talked to Jerry DiNardo, and he said to us, and I will never forget this as long as I live, if I had the talent Bobby Bowden had, we would be winning a lot more football games. Mm-hmm. It is a fine line. Most of these guys know what they're doing with X's and O's. It's whether you can get, retain, and develop the players into those systems. And once you get those players to knock down some of those open shots, well, things are going to open up and be a little bit easier on all three phases of the ball. Because when you score, you put pressure on the team you're playing, and they have to score to keep up with you. Mm-hmm. We have always talked about here in the recent past that defense in college basketball is – you have to have it. That is not a choice anymore. You can't have a team that scores 100 points a night and mm-hmm. gives up 98. The margin's too small there. So you already have the angle of, well, this team knows how to get things done defensively and what the staff wants defensively.
Assuming we've got enough guys coming back, I mean, you can point out a couple that you would expect so, but you just never know with the offseason.
You don't. And the foundation, though, showed me in year one that he took a group that did not play a lot of defense perhaps the year before, mm-hmm. and they have found a way to get better at doing so. So I think that's not something perhaps fans have to worry about moving forward. But it's always going to be about putting the ball in the basket. You watch these conference championship games, they're not ending 43-41. You're watching the big conference games. How many points a game does Villanova score a night? By 88? They're up there.
Yeah.
Duke, Carolina, the only team you can point out that says that probably doesn't go runs at that high and does use the defensive model is Virginia. But Virginia's beaten Carolina. Virginia's beaten. What were they in the ACC? Yeah,
Virginia's. I mean, again, if you go by Ken Palm efficiency rankings, they're 21st in O.
There you go.
First in D. So Cincinnati is second in D. They're 54th in O.
And that's so, I mean, a little.
There aren't a lot.
And that's a great.
At least at the top.
That's a great swing there. That's a 30-team swing in how it's been. So the point is, Virginia is lauded for their defense, but they have to score as well. Right. Nobody in the ACC can show up and win every night 56-53. It doesn't happen that way. So you have to find that balance, which means what? That means the scorers and guys you bring in have to be able to play two-way basketball, and that's going to be the exciting thing to see. This group that sticks around for next year has 1 year under their belt, and the next group coming in should add immediately to the offensive side of things. If you followed, at least three of them should. You've got a kid that's in the top. What would Fantasy finish in high school scoring career? Top 20?
Something like that.
Oh, yeah. He had 2,000 points, so that's a lot. DeMazie Anderson is now the South Bend all-time leading scorer. I mean, it's not the end-all, be-all, but you're not talking about a guy that averages 11 points and 4 rebounds, and you hope you're catching him on the upside. That's always great when it happens. I'm all for player development. That has to be part of the balance of it. But you have to have guys that can score the basketball. That's part of the thing. So moving forward, you hope that's going to be solved. That's why you recruit, who you recruit, and how you recruit it. But just to have those pieces and to have depth at certain positions and have depth in the front court and have depth at the wing and have depth at the guard. Indiana all year long was – it seemed like they were rolling dice every night, trying to get a guy and a half to maybe do something they're not used to doing to provide an order of offense. Justin Smith, hey, can you get us 16 tonight? Oh, okay, yeah, I can. But if I get you three, well, you're a freshman. Yeah, I mean, you'd like to have multiple options in that, and I think that's what's going to be exciting next year. But the Hoosiers not going to the postseason – again, hardly a surprise. And the next step for this team will be moving it to the next step. And what is a honeymoon period anymore in this day and age? I don't know what that even is anymore.
Not long. You see the way you can recruit nowadays and change your roster.
And that's the thing. You get one or two guys. This is not football where you might need a handful on each side of the ball.
Right.
This is basketball where you get a couple guys that can put the ball in the basket.
Exactly.
And all of a sudden it changes the entire dynamic of your team. So that's interesting to see. Obviously, Finney's a point guard, but he can score. We just told you his numbers on that. Anderson. He's about what, a 6'6", 6'7" type wing player. Jerome Hunter, 6'6", 6'7" type wing player. And then you've got Jake Forrester's a 6'9" kid who he might be a little bit on the quote unquote project side because he's played on a team that hasn't required him to score in his high school career, because I think one of his teammates is heading to Duke next year, Cam Reddish. So you know where the volume of that that is going. So it is an exciting time. It's always exciting to bring in fresh and new faces. You always like to thank all the seniors for moving it and in the right direction, sticking around and doing it. But The years of what, six, what were they finished? 16, 15, 16, 14. You can't have three more of those to get it right. It is just people, those expectations are gone. And I don't think it's going to be that way. I think it's moving in the right direction.
Throw a scenario out there because it's a possibility. We all know this. You don't get Romeo Langford, a top 10 recruit. There aren't a lot of top 10 recruits out there to fill a spot if you don't get him. Now, looking at next year, you maybe don't have as explosive of a player on your team. You still have, theoretically, Juwan Morgan if he comes down back.
Assuming
the folks that are on the roster now come back, a Devontae Green, someone like that who can put the ball in the basket, guys who can shoot that are coming in right now, the guys that are signed right now. But is that a good enough step up in offense to make any kind of step next year, or is it simply reestablishing or additionally establishing a defensive identity that he wants next year?
I think if you start on the defensive end of things and you don't have to spend half your year working on that because it's so uneven to begin with.
You're going to have minimum four freshmen.
Yeah, and how many did you have this year? You had three, two played, right? So
yeah.
You've been through it once. You've been through it. You've got a kid in Race Thompson who has been here. He will be quote-unquote a freshman, but he has been through the program for a year. That's very helpful.
Mm-hmm.
But I think when you move forward in all of this, you're recruiting kids to this, meaning the Big Ten, to Indiana University, that they have to be able to, I think, to contribute to get started because of the roster that you have. The roster that you have is very solid, but you've seen the last 2 years how many wins total in the bank. 33, 34.
Yeah, what, 18 last year?
I don't know. I've. It's not one that it's in. It's not written on my ceiling when I go to bed every night and take a look at it. But that's the part. You knew what you needed coming into it, and hopefully this solved the issue. And with Indiana moving forward, you'll see now if will open shots go down. I don't know if all these freshmen are going to come in and start making open shots. The other thing is Juwan Morgan's going to test the NBA camp or whatever it is.
Yeah,
but sure. I'm not sure that he's going to find a spot at the next level immediately. I think one more year for him at 6'7", or I don't know what he is without his shoes on. You know, they have all these. He might be 6'5" and a half for all we know. I don't know this.
Yeah.
Where
it's hard to see him as with that post-up game in the NBA being as effective.
And I'm not sure if that's his game or he had to play that this year because of the injury to Davis and everything else. He is.
I mean, I'm sure it was part of it was Deron Davis.
He is.
He was not starting. At one point he was.
But I think the great news is I'd be surprised if he left.
Yeah, me too.
So the good news is you're bringing back a guy that scored 34 in a neutral court against a ranked top 10 Notre Dame team.
Yeah.
You saw a guy that rattled off, 15 or more in a row, 8 or 9 Big Ten games.
Mm-hmm.
That scoring right there is going to help loosen the load for a lot of guys. And when you have a player of that stature who is hard to guard in the post, as you mentioned, who can put the ball on the floor, is an excellent pass. He's a great Big Ten player.
Really good, yeah.
Yeah, and that's you have a foundation. Well, here's my long story short point, and I'm sorry. You don't have to find your Juwan Morgan next year. You got him.
We're assuming, but we feel safe with that.
But my point is
you don't have to hope somebody steps up.
It's not going to be January 15th when you find this guy or December 10th or whenever they played Notre Dame or whenever that was.
Right.
When the light came on and boom, he starts playing at that level. You're not going to have to go through that again, which is good. You have enough experienced players at some positions, enough freshmen that played last year, that there'll be competition at positions. That's the other good thing that'll come in. That should make practices more competitive. That should make playing time more competitive. And you're going to have substitutions where guys aren't going to have to play, hopefully, 38 minutes a game. And Juwan Morgan, you want him to play as many minutes as possible.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the thing. He showed you this year he's in pretty good shape to do that. And coming back for a senior year, I don't think that'll bother him. But you're not going to have to reinvent the wheel. If Deron Davis comes back, I think Indiana saw more than not this year when he was out, their offense moved better in certain ways.
Mm-hmm.
Now, do they go back and they say, well, we're going to reinforce and go back to Deron in the post and do that? Well, you might because Juwan moves to a different spot. And when you have some guys that can spot up and shoot, and what do they have to do? They have to knock down shots and opens that up. So it's going to be really interesting to see how Archie Miller manages all this. And then, as you mentioned, if the home run is hit, then – all bets are off and anything's wide open, ready to go.
Not knowing for sure what additions to this team are still pending. Obviously, we can speculate, and everyone will. What other player right now that you have in your pocket would you not want to lose other than Juwan Morgan?
I don't think you're going to lose anybody. I think everybody has seen
But give me a next most valuable to next year's team, to put it a different way. Deron Davis, Devontae Green, well, Justin Smith.
I think we know Deron's coming back just because off the injury, I don't think he would go and
go
anywhere.
Is this his style?
I don't know if he's had to do that, but what I do know is he stayed all summer long last year, changed his life, changed his diet, mm-hmm. changed everything. If he accepted that and thought
why
he was in the best shape of his life and gets a freak Achilles, you can't do anything to prevent that or stop or slow that down. I think you always need some size. I think that was part of the problem last year because Morgan had to play center.
Yeah, it was one.
Can you move him out to the wing where he's going to cause a four? I don't know if he's the quote-unquote stretch four. I don't know if he defines that position, but he can handle it. He can put it on the deck. He can shoot it. He can terrorize people off the dribble, inside, outside. He's a really solid player, but which you never had. And I don't know if Davis is quote-unquote a rim protector, but he sure takes up a lot of space in the lane.
Yeah, it's tough.
And that's going to help on defense as well because we saw last year once Indiana got focused better on the perimeter and stopped giving up quality looks at the three-point line, they were more competitive in every game they played. Mm-hmm. So you throw in a guy at 6'11", who's hopefully, when does this injury heal? He gets hurt in January. Yeah. Is he back by October? That's 10 months.
Not easy.
November's 11 months. Mm-hmm. So you've got some time in that. I don't think you want to lose anybody because I think the coherence moving forward, everybody's done this together, I think will help. I think that'll help bring the freshmen along a little bit quicker. And I think if they believe what they saw in improvement, they, I think, can figure out this is the right guy to get it going here. I don't think that's going to be the question. But kids are kids. We talked about that last week of, hey, if you want to transfer, it's not going to surprise me. There's 800 kids doing
that's
it
right.
already.
That's
so
exactly right.
We'll see what the end of the semester brings. And usually that happens at the end of finals week or whatever else. I don't know. But right now, I think this team is a couple pieces at each position away. I think they are a couple shooters away. We've already talked about that. Bringing Deron Davis back and having him play for a full year, I think, is going to make a massive, massive difference. Mm-hmm. Adding, three guys, 6'7", or better,
yep.
That's going to help. Clifton Morris had a year. Race Thompson, 6'7", 6'8". They've got some pieces. And now can they put it all together? Well, that's up to Coach Miller. And hopefully him and his staff can get that going. But I don't think it's bleak. I think you've got enough kids coming in that will help you in Juwan Morgan for everybody to lean on. And, throwing Davis. Davis has played enough games, you'd think, now that he gets how it's played. It just hasn't been the level of 6'11 play, perhaps, that people would like. So there you go.
All right, we got to take a quick break. When we get back, we'll turn it over to the NCAA tournament. Take a look at the brackets a little bit. Who's got the easy route or the hard route? I don't know if there is an easy route this year, but we'll talk about that when we get back. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. David Glass with you in the zone. You're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers obviously waiting on Romeo Langford. The Indy Star is reporting that he will announce sometime in April. A lot of questions as to how that might go down. There's rumors they might involve the mayor of New Albany.
Oh, that wouldn't surprise you at all. Well, he's probably at the game on Saturday afternoon. My goodness.
The governor? I don't know.
Well, bring them all in. There's the two rumbles have been it's April, the other rumble whenever the McDonald's game is, and I believe that's the end of this month. At some, here's the deal, and you mentioned it earlier to a degree, you don't have them until you have them, so
right.
You don't have them. It's
not, you do have two spots open right now, so get them or not, you'll still have another spot.
Yep.
We were talking off the air, maybe a JUCO kid, Archie's supposedly out there
grad
looking
transfer,
at JUCOs, so
something.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I would
top need, we said off the, also, and we've said this all year long, is shooting.
Yeah, you need
right
a, you
need somebody.
Or even a score.
Somebody's.
I don't, a shooter would be great. Shooters are a little moodier in some things because mm-hmm. sometimes they're a one-trick pony. You find a guy who can get the ball in the basket, That's the key. You know, if he's getting 18 a game at Delaware State, he's getting 18 a game. He's found a way to get that. An average suggests over a span of time that there have been some good ones and some bad ones, and that's how you rank out that number, correct? So I don't think that would be the worst part ever, because then it lets the team breathe a little bit, because I think the more scoring you have, again, makes life easier. You're not grinding out every defensive possession. You're not grinding out every single end-of-game situation. Heck, this year end-of-game situations, sometimes Indiana struggled with Robert Johnson, a four-year senior who has the 20th all-time leading scorer in Indiana history, and Juwan Morgan on the floor. Yeah. Struggled to get shots because you knew if you guarded those two guys.
Juwan Morgan in his position in Illinois and put it off his shin.
That's it. Or you know Morgan or Johnson was going to get it because there weren't you didn't have enough offensive threats around him. And, everybody can develop their game in the offseason. That's great. Absolutely. But, again, that is an option. There are options. You told me that Archie's out looking at JUCO kids. You should be looking at everybody. If there's 800 transfers on the guys transferring on the board, I mean, when in Rome, isn't that part of the deal?
Yeah.
It's not some kind of, wink, wink underneath this or that. North Carolina's playing a kid. Cam Johnson from Pittsburgh got 15 or 16 a game. Mm-hmm. It happens. So that's just part of how it works these days. So it'll be interesting to see how they fill it. They're not, I wouldn't think, going to rush to fill it, but as we've seen in years past, finding guys in May and June don't always work out for the best scenarios on that. It'll be interesting to see what Archie's philosophy is on that moving forward. If they do have a spot open, do you want to have a ton of do you want to have five freshmen again? Do you want to have another big freshman class, or do you want to have just a couple next year? So there's a way to balance that. And I don't think one player, if he's not in that grad transfer immediate help or a premium JUCO guy, are you just given a scholarship to say in 2 years, man, we shouldn't have hurried up and done that.
Right.
Because you can't take them back. You can't use them again. You have a finite number.
A couple awfully good Indiana players in the year after's class also. Guys like Keon Brooks and Trace Davis, guys like that you probably want to save some grants for too.
And I don't know. I don't have it in front of me of how many they have for 19, but those guys. There was a reason Archie Miller was in the gym all day and all night in Seymour on Saturday with Tom Ostrom. That's not hard to figure that one out once you have the rosters in front of you.
812-333-2665 is our phone number.
Side note, 1 year away from picking Indiana's path to the Final Four, by the way.
There you go. We'll transition over to the NCAA by letting you know that both Kelvin Sampson and Mike Davis have teams in the NCAA tournament. And now we talk about that NCAA tournament. By the way, we'll have a ton of it, if not all of it, I believe, here on WGCL, starting Tuesday and Wednesday night. Tomorrow night, 6:30, we'll take over. We'll be back with you at 6 o'clock on Wednesday, but we'll turn it over early at 6:30 to NCAA coverage, first four, and then Thursday at noon, and figure out your regular timings. We're going to have it all for you here on WGCL. Looking then at the brackets, your number one seeds, Virginia, Villanova, Kansas, and Xavier, two Big East teams. Interesting there, but they've been very, very good all year long, has that entire conference, and Virginia gets the number one seed.
The only question about the number one seeds and the number two seeds or whatever, these teams are not separated by very much.
No.
Sans Virginia. Virginia has stuck out like a sore thumb. Anybody that goes and one in the ACC, I don't care what flex or shift of schedule you have there, that's properly done. So to the victors go the spoils. They are the number one seed in the South. And easiest bracket, I don't know if anything's easy. You watch enough college basketball this year. Every time you looked up, every week, it's a ranked team in the top 10 getting beat by somebody. It's not ranked.
Yeah.
So
the
parity is wonderful. I don't know if that's the right word, but maybe there is an absence of greatness. There's a glut of really good, but there aren't those teams that stick out. If you want to put the blue blood names out there, sure. And you can make – North Carolina's 10 losses, folks, and they're a two-seed.
Yeah.
10 losses, and they're a two-seed.
Yep.
10. What do the revising – 10.
Yeah.
Two fives.
Exactly
double
right.
Figures. Take your shoes off.
Exactly right.
So once you get it figured out, you'll do a great job in your bracket competition. There's There's no doubt about any of that.
No, I mean, everything's going to be tough at the NCAAs. I wouldn't mind Villanova's path if I had to choose. There's some teams that'll kind of punch you in the mouth a little bit there, but Villanova doesn't mind doing that either.
Well, in West Virginia, that's
if you
want to start in that bracket in the East, and you could have West Virginia in a regional semifinal.
West Virginia's tough. Wichita State hasn't been playing, you know, its greatest at times, but it's very tough.
How many losses does Virginia have?
Virginia?
Two. One in conference and one to West Virginia.
Two. Yeah.
Well, that's part of the deal. And Bobby Huggins, every time, nobody likes to play that style. Nobody likes to play against him. Jay Wright has very good guards with Villanova. He's got a ton of experience as well.
Mm-hmm.
But they couldn't handle Providence in overtime. It's not one game that makes this. Everybody gets all wrapped up in, well, this is what happened in your conference championship
game.
Villanova was really good all year.
Is this the most open or uncertain tournament in a while?
Yeah, I think so. I think there's about eight teams that can win, and I think that's great for it, because how many years have we sat here with five guys from Kentucky are all going to be picked in the top 12 picks, and you say, well, that's – you know, they're going to be in the Final Four, and who's going to go with them? Or they're going to be in the national championship game, who's going to go with them? And the great question this year, I couldn't believe watching yesterday how many people, experts throughout, you name your portal or whatever you checked it out on, lauding the Big Ten. You've got Michigan and Michigan State all over the place, in people's Final Eights, Final Fours, championship games, you name it. And the Big Ten, for the first time ever, is going to have a 10-day break before they even pick up and get going.
Yeah.
So two things just make it interesting there. If the Big Ten's going to go this deep, and Michigan State's going to do this, and Michigan's going to do that, and maybe Purdue this or that, they're thought of so highly, yet the league only got four teams in. How can you have that both ways? I don't know. Maybe it is a case by case. Maybe it doesn't matter that way. Well, Michigan State's lost, what, twice in the last month? 2 months, 3 months, twice something since like that, Christmas. Yeah, they've been good. I get all that. But you have a tournament here every year that you're going to complain that some teams didn't get in. We know all that. And you're going to shake your head and wonder, were the two Big East teams the two best teams to get in? Well, if you say the Big East is the best conference, I get you. Then what's Michigan State doing as a three seed if everybody's got them in the Final Four?
Right.
I just don't – I never understand how it's put together. I think it's wonderfully fascinating how it's all put together, but I don't understand much of it. And I don't understand how seedings and brackets work if Purdue and Butler can meet in the second round. I thought that was
that's crazy. There's been a couple of those the last couple of years. I mean, you played Kentucky twice
in 2 years.
In a couple of years.
It just makes you scratch your head and wonder how it goes. But if you're looking at the Villanova thing, you get West Virginia perhaps or Wichita State. I'm not a big Wichita State guy, especially playing West Virginia.
Not this year.
That's a bad matchup for them. The bottom half of it, Texas Tech. I can't tell you two players that play for Texas Tech.
No.
Because the Big 12's had a good year, Texas Tech was rewarded. Purdue?
Defensively, they're really good.
Yeah, and Purdue's down there. And if I'm Purdue and look around and say, if the number threes are Michigan State, Tennessee,
Texas Tech.
Well, that's Michigan and Michigan State, Tennessee, and I get Texas Tech out of that foursome. I'm not going to complain.
I'll take it.
I'm not going to complain once or twice. And that doesn't mean Texas Tech can't play. That doesn't mean Purdue's going to win that game automatically. But that's not the worst draw you've seen. If I'm Villanova, if I can get past Murray State and you're looking at Texas Tech or Purdue deep in there, Arkansas is not going to bother them. Florida's not going to bother Villanova. Yeah, it seems to be a pretty tasty region there. If Virginia, my friend, is the number one overall seed, they should have, quote-unquote, the easiest regional, you would think, correct?
You would think, but they got some tough ones early.
They do. Creighton is a decent ball club. You know me and Bruce Weber, we don't get along, so I don't have a lot of auspices for Kansas State moving on. But how do you get Arizona?
Or Kentucky.
Arizona's better than Kentucky.
They should be.
Arizona's regular season Pac-12 champs. Arizona Pac-12 conference champs, and there are four.
Mm-hmm.
And they're in Virginia's bracket.
Yeah.
How that comes about, again, I missed all these questions last night. I was watching Tiger Woods. I missed all these questions last night for the tournament committee, but if you stay up late and you watch Arizona play and if you watch DeAndre Ayton play,
yeah,
okay, that's a pretty good team. They got some pieces to that team.
Well, and that's not even
Lonzo
getting
you Trier.
In. Yeah, that's just getting to the Sweet 16. You've got to choose between those. Davidson just won their tournament, and so they're hot all of a sudden, too.
In the Sweet 16, it would be Virginia versus Kentucky or Arizona, you'd think off the top of your head. And that, to me, could be a Final Four matchup if they were seeded differently. So, if Tony Bennett wants to come out and complain, he really hasn't gotten a break in the tournament the last 4 years. I'm going to have a hard time arguing with him. Well, Michigan State. You got to beat somebody.
You got to beat people in the tournament.
I mean, but it seems like he gets the criminally underrated top blue blood program in his Sweet 16 every single year. Well, yeah, you're right. You have to go out and beat him at some point. The bottom of that bracket, Cincinnati, again, you told me about their defensive tenacity. Their offense always makes you question. Defense travels, right? Defense and rebounding always travels, but if you can't score, the bottom bracket there with Miami, Loyola, Tennessee, Wright State, Nevada, Texas, and Cincinnati, Georgia, that's a rock fight. Just bring a sack of doorbells and fight your way out of that. That will be bloody. There will be blood in that, and there is nobody on that side of the bracket, including Cincinnati, for my money's worth, that can handle Virginia. Virginia's too good a pro. In Arizona, that goes without saying. I just told you they could beat Virginia. So that, to me, it's a good news, bad news for Arizona. They're on the wrong side of an easy bracket.
Yeah.
So
that's right.
What are you going to do? Well, you got to go out. You nailed it. It's in front of you. Go beat them.
Right.
Go beat somebody. Because if you don't beat them, it doesn't matter what bracket you're in, and you're out. The upsets we always talk about, if anything jumps off the page on these first two in the South – and the East, I think you throw Kentucky in there because they got a couple kids that can go nuts.
Yeah.
But you're going to have a couple more than that to beat Arizona, I think.
Yeah.
And obviously, for those not paying attention like me, that everybody talks about Loyola of Chicago. There's two ways to do this NCAA thing. If you go with the herd, don't be surprised when you are left out in the cold at the end. and so if you're looking for boutique teams, you might want to do a little bit of your own homework. You know who I go and see? I go and see who Las Vegas likes, because those hotels aren't built on promises.
Yeah.
They are built on gamblers losing
money. They tend to get
those
right.
Well, they tend to get more of them right than they do wrong. That's for sure. So if you want to talk about 12s and 5s and everything else there, you know what? UCLA is a team that can get they have enough talent just to get silly enough where they can stretch it out.
And they got
to
win during the week first, but they can do it.
You think they're going to be bothered by Texas Tech? You think they're going to sit there and say, well, we've played Arizona twice. Purdue's height's not going to bother
Well, I'm just saying they got the extra game they got to play.
They do.
Bonnies.
They got to play the Bonnies, and I saw today from Las Vegas. That's what made me think of that. Mm-hmm. St. Bonaventure would – there are 12 teams in the NIT that Vegas ranks above St. Bonaventure.
Well, Vegas isn't doing the tournament.
Well, they're not, but they keep power ratings for all this. Mm-hmm. And it's not two teams above St. Bonaventure. It's not six teams. It's a full dozen teams again, East Coast boutique teams. Be careful, gang. Be careful. You got to see where these writers all went to college, did their master's programs, because sometimes that factors into their decision. See the Northwestern Wildcats of this year and last year.
We got to take a quick break. 812-333-2665 is our phone number. Back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on Newstalk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Talking NCAA brackets, and we'll let you know again. We're going to have a whole NCAA tournament here on WGCL. Nice and easy. Just remember that. So you're used to turning in around noon on Thursday. You can do that here also. And then, of course, the last several years, we got the first four. So we will be covering those also starting tomorrow night. 6:30 as just after 6:30 tomorrow night, LIU Brooklyn and Radford will play. And then UCLA will play St. Bonaventure. And then on Wednesday night, same thing. We'll be with you from 6 o'clock to 6:30. Turn it over to NCAA basketball. Texas Southern and Mike Davis against North Carolina Central. And the nightcap, Syracuse and Arizona State. So we'll have all the games here for you on WGCL. 812-333-2665 is the phone number. Looking at the West and the Midwest now, you've got Xavier in the West. North Carolina is your number 2 seed. Michigan, your number 3 seed. They were the Big Ten conference champions. Surprised Michigan got a 3. I mean, they played really well down the stretch.
Yes.
But as a tournament win, it wasn't a title win. They're on the same line as Michigan State.
They've played some really good basketball. We thought that they would be a problem in the Big Ten tournament. They turned out to be one. and beat Michigan State. If everybody's high in Michigan State, why, you know, Michigan should get some love in there. I don't have their metrics in front of me. I don't really care about their metrics, whether there are three, six. Here's how this stuff works out. Nobody knows how it works out. Nobody.
Michigan State is ninth in both offensive and defensive efficiency.
Michigan State is.
Michigan State.
And they're the same line as Michigan.
Michigan is fifth on defense, which is unusual for Michigan under John Beilein.
Completely huge.
29th on offense.
And it's
still good enough numbers.
And I mean, usually obviously. That's the other way around. And they've got senior players. They've got good interior size. They've got guys that can shoot it. They can be bothersome because they're well coached. I think Beilein has earned that right over the last 15 to 17 years. He knows what he's doing in that. Tough for them. They get Carolina, but why not? Who are they going to be afraid of? They knock out Michigan State in the Big Ten tournament, Madison Square Garden on a neutral site. I don't think they're going to be bothered. I don't remember who their Big Ten ACC opponent was this year, but you know they play big games. It's not like it's a surprise. The Gonzaga at number four is always interesting. That's a team that's...
They lost at Carolina, actually.
No, they lost at Carolina, okay.
Yeah.
And that was the night we played Duke. That was the early game,
beat
if I remember
UCLA,
correctly.
Beat UCLA, beat Texas.
There you go, tournament teams.
Yep.
Beat Michigan State twice on their home floor at East Lansing, mm-hmm. on a neutral court. So if you're high on Michigan State, well, Michigan's got some powerhouse wins to go along with some of that as well. Dave, Purdue, two really good games. We're unlucky on both ends of those. I think the margin of victory against Purdue was like 6 total points. I know they had a chance to win it at their place.
They got beat pretty good at home.
By Purdue?
No, I'm sorry. They won at home. They won at home. No, that's the tournament. Sorry.
Yeah.
Sorry. They lost by 4, 92-88 at Purdue.
At Purdue. And they were in the game the entire game. And then the game
the where they lost by 1.
At home they lost by 1 was the call with like 2 seconds left on some kind of random foul that gave Purdue foul shots. Michigan's good. That's the point. They've got senior backcourt. They got guys that can shoot it. They've got height. They can score. They've got Beilein. Those things always help. Why are they on the same line as Michigan State? I don't know. I don't have that answer. Is Duke better than Michigan State? I don't know. This is why you have a tournament and play it. You don't have to sit here and say it. No one cares that USC got left out. They were the number 2 team in the regular season in the Pac-12 and lost in the Pac-12 final. Mm-hmm. It's telling you your conference play doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't weight any higher than anything else.
It doesn't weight anything. Yeah, that's it. Nebraska had 13 wins in the Big Ten. They are on the 5 line in the NIT tournament, which means there are 16 teams.
About it.
That means 16 teams are better than them in the NIT. Penn State didn't get in. If you're Xavier, this draw is brutal. It's absolutely brutal. Would you have liked to be a 2 in another section? I don't know. I don't know if that's going to be any better. But the teams that worry about their draw and the teams that worry about their getting hosed where they're sent, the teams that are worried, they're not going to win anyhow.
Yeah.
If you go back and go through like these little previews that you see for the last 5 years and the coaches that get mouthy about where they're playing,
exactly
they
right.
all lose.
Yeah, exactly right.
they're focusing on the wrong
exactly
on
right.
the wrong things. Xavier's a dog team. They like to get into it. They like to chirp. They like to bark. They like to have at it. They never won anything.
No, nope.
That's the problem. And teams don't take teams like that. They don't get scared to play. You get scared to play Kansas.
They can put the ball in the basket.
You get scared to play Villanova.
Yeah.
But Xavier's never going to put that fear into you. Their coach has never been past the Sweet 16, I don't believe. Or he might have been to the regional finals once. Never been to the Final Four. Does that mean he's a bad coach? No, it doesn't. But what it does mean is he has to beat perhaps Gonzaga and Carolina.
Yeah.
Or Michigan to get out of his region.
Or Ohio State.
And that's if he can handle who knows what's going on with Missouri.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going on with Ohio State. Right. Chris Holtman, you told me at the break, went to Sweet 16 last year and played Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
He's not afraid of any,
nope.
any
nope.
big teams. Throw in the Kelvin Sampson factor. Everybody's high on San Diego State. They've won a handful in a row.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the oops. Right upset, wrong bracket part there. But when you have the lumber you have in that side of things, I think it's a very tough road for Xavier to get out of. And, again, you're going to have to show up and beat some really good teams. There are always, every single year it seems like, a couple, 3 teams that go places they shouldn't go.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see it in the Carolina-Michigan part of the bracket, but that's what makes this tournament great. Carolina and Michigan could be out on the second on the weekend.
Yeah, I mean, Carolina's, you know, they've had their struggles at times this year. They obviously did enough to get on the number two line, but they have had their struggles.
They have 10 losses.
Yeah.
There's no other way to cut that. And if you want to make excuses for the defending champion having 10 losses, help yourself.
They graduated some pretty important players.
And they brought back some even more important players. And you know their recruiting classes never suffer. But Providence could be their second-round matchup. And Providence just won three games in a row in overtime in the Big East tournament. What's bothering them? Are they out of gas? I don't know.
Let's look at the Midwest. Kansas is your number one seed again for the Big Ten. Michigan State's the number three seed with on the side of Duke. TCU down there also. Clemson and Auburn sitting around there. No, don't forget Seton Hall and NC State. The winners of those two games, of that game, whoever it is going to be a tough out for Kansas.
It is, but I like Kansas in that game because the game of Seton Hall and NC State is going to beat each other up, and you're going to have a team that's probably worn out a little bit playing a team that blows somebody out. And that's why you want a one seed. So you can play those 8-9 games that are toss-ups and have two teams kill each other. But why TCU's a six seed? TCU lost their starting point guard a month ago, tore his knees, done for the year. Mm-hmm. They limped in, didn't beat anybody coming down the stretch. Yeah. And there you go. Michigan State and Duke, just hopefully that's what it is. This is why you sign up for these events. You want to see those two teams play.
Clearly, late play doesn't matter much because Arizona State started out on fire.
Yep.
And has not fallen completely apart, but they certainly aren't the team they were at the beginning of the season. They start 18-0?
They finished 14-1, something like that. Yeah. They finished eighth in the regular season in the Pac-10, lost in the first round of the Pac-10 tournament. But as you mentioned, if there are four parts to the schedule, that's just one quarter of it, I guess. But or
do you
two
like
quarters
that?
Of it.
Would you rather late matter more?
Here's what I don't like. I don't like knowing.
No,
if you're going to put Oklahoma in the tournament because you want Trae Young to sell tickets and because ESPN's hyped him for 4 months, just come out and tell me that.
Mm-hmm.
Just come out and say, we are putting the most exciting, entertaining teams in the field that have had some pretty good wins.
Well, Arizona State kind of falls in that, but they don't have Trae Young.
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know what the quotient is. I don't know what it is.
I'm an all-season guy because I'm a football guy.
Sure.
I think the whole season ought to matter.
It should because you shouldn't play the games if they don't.
Yeah, exactly.
So call them exhibitions, do whatever it is. But from an Arizona standpoint, you stick Arizona State in, you get Pac-10 media covering it, or you stick in Middle Tennessee State as an at-large at 11, everybody's like, they're 27-4. St. Mary's didn't make the tournament.
Yeah.
Didn't play anybody. All these mid-major coaches that get beat in their conference tournament say, well, no one schedules us. But you throw Arizona in for doing nothing at the end of the year. Again, give me the formula. If they keep it secret, they're going to get this. Maybe this is the magic formula behind it. Hey, let's just throw some out there. Who cares? They're going to lose anyhow. Yeah. Let's just get people angry and talking about it, conflict and all this.
Big Ten disrespected with only four teams, or you think that's deserved?
It speaks for itself. You have a team that wins 13 conference games and is not even close to making the NCAA tournament. That doesn't matter anymore. What it's doing is sending a message that I think is unclear. Maybe it's clear to the coaches and athletic directors. What is that message now? That you must schedule five out-of-conference games? You must go on the road and win? What if people don't schedule you? I mean, there's so many things that go around with this, and I think that's why people find it fascinating is because nobody really knows how the sausage is made.
Yeah, it's every year you're asking these questions. I mean, every year you've got a couple
you're
people.
Even asking these questions in a four-team college football playoff
exactly right.
with 5-6.
That's just it. I mean, when it went from 2-4, you're asking about the 5-6, exactly.
Which
right.
nobody cares about. In the old days, it was to make sure the 2 was right.
Right.
Not to make sure the 4 was right.
Yeah, now you got 68 teams, and so who's 69 and
68
70?
68 teams were for the conference tournament winners expansion. That's new conferences came up. I get all that. But it is entertaining, but usually, as you mentioned, beat who you're playing. Who cares?
You like Kansas's road?
I like Kansas in general just because I got senior guards.
I always
like senior guards, man. They don't always work out, though.
Virginia. I mean,
love Virginia.
Tony Bennett's got to get somewhere, doesn't
love
he?
Love it.
Got to take a head on out of here.
Trip to Arizona is what he gets.
Yeah, got to head on out of here is what we got to do. We'll be back Wednesday. Remember, tomorrow night, 6:30 is First Four, and we will talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.